leave your name, telephone number, and social security number. This differs drastically from the advice that Stephen Rambam gave on Off the Hook about protecting your privacy. Well, if you want to protect your privacy, the first thing you do is don't call an 800 number and type in your social security number. Wow. Amazing chutzpah, it really is. Listen, there are things that you can do. First of all, don't ever give anybody your social security number. Almost nobody has a right to it. I have a telephone in my home. I refuse to give them my SSN. They said, give us a big deposit. I have utilities in my home. I have cable service. I have everything you could possibly want. Nobody has a right to your social security number except a financial institution, a governmental agency that's allowed by law to collect it, which now, by the way, includes driver's license, and very, very, very small subset of people. Don't give it out. Number two, the Holy Grail, mother's maiden name. Make one up. Don't give them your real mother's maiden name. And don't give every person the same fake mother's maiden name. Give Visa Card Jones. Give Amex Smith. Give the phone company Harknerf. I mean, just make something up. Don't give everybody the same information. Who said why? Don't do that. You're in a school. Raise your hand and wait, or I'll have the dean. The dean's right there. I'll have him come over and deal with you. Why? Because first of all, if people get a critical piece of data from one location, they will use it to link to everything else. If I've got your SSN, for example, I can link to about 80% of the databases out there. Your date of birth will give me another 10% of that. Your address will give me another 5% of that. And then if I'm a bad guy, and I'm a data pirate, or what these weasels call themselves, info broker, if I've got your mother's maiden name, I have access to all the stuff like your cell phone records, which, I mean, probably you didn't even set up change the password on your web account. Did you? Uh-oh. What web account? Every telephone, every cell phone now, you can get your bill, including specific detail, on the internet. That's how about 75% of these cell phone bills are gotten by info brokers. People go to the website, put in your information, which they've gathered because you've made it available everywhere, and since you haven't changed the password, since you didn't even know there was a website, they suck down your last 6 months of your bills. And they know everybody you've talked to, everywhere you've been at the time, so on and so forth. Yes, change default passwords. That's another one. I'm working my way this way.
All the tracking, I'm talking in the press, I think it's true that they're going to put RFIDs in passports, and now you'll be able to be picked out of the crowd anywhere you are if they can read your RFID.
I think they are, and that's going to be actually pretty dangerous, because imagine I'm Osama bin Rambam and I'm walking around with an RFID reader. It's like Canadian, American, grab him. And that's really how it'll work. It's a remarkably stupid idea brought to you by Department of Homeland Security. What can I say?
Would help to
wrap your whole body in foil in most places. I'm not going to recommend the tin foil hat for you. Don't take your passport with you out of your hotel when you go overseas. Check in, put it in a safe. You should do that anyway. It's a pain in the ass if you lose your passport while you're overseas. Have a photocopy of it with you. Huh? Why are you walking around with your passport?
You gotta go to Canada now with your passport, right? Bermuda?
Okay, you know what? When you go to Canada, take your passport. Okay, that was a scary question. Next. You are screwed beyond belief.
Jeremy Neer, who's an artificial intelligence gives a crap what goes on.
Okay, that wasn't really a question, but it calls for a comment. By the way, number one, if they have your wallet, you're screwed beyond belief. You need to be one of the few people that actually goes into the Social Security Administration and gets a new Social Security number. You're screwed. Somebody gets your whole wallet and they have half a brain, they own you. As far as the privacy thing, let me tell you something. People in Europe are idiots. You know, here's what makes America different. You know, you can say whatever you want about George Bush, stupid foreign policy, stupid domestic policy. Here's what makes America wonderful and pretty much the best place there is. You have a right to your own life. You have a right to take control of your own life. You don't give massive amounts of taxes to the government. You think you pay high taxes here. Check what they do in Holland. And then have it doled back out to you. We have firearms in the United States and they don't in Europe because America trusts its citizens with guns and says, you have a right to be able to protect yourself without going help police. You know, it's a whole different mindset. So screw what they do in Holland. That doesn't apply here. That's my political point of view. I'm sorry, but I think that's the greatest thing about America. You have a right to be left alone, not a constitutional right, although people think it's actually in the Constitution, but it's how we do things in America. The fraternity guy.
I had a problem the past couple days. In the past, I've always done my best to try to stay private. I don't use my credit card to buy things. I leave as much identification at home, locked up in the safe, as I possibly can.
In the safe? Oh, boy.
The only thing I will go out with in many cases is my school ID, my driver's license, and whatever cash I need. But I'm finding it increasingly hard to just even go to the store and pay cash. Or if you want to pay cash, they ask you for your name, address.
Ask you for your name if you pay cash?
Raise your check. This week we help on that.
Okay. Okay. Quiet. Silence.
Is there any way at all?
Yes, you refuse. You say, if you want my business, mind your business. Otherwise, I'll go next door where they don't have a freaking computer. That's the first thing. I mean, I find it amazing that that you would even be asking this question. You're an adult. You know what's going on clearly. Just, you know, not to recycle a phrase, but just say no. But hold on a second. This is actually becoming a big problem. And Rick Dakin, who was my victim, we're actually doing a book together called Stealing Your Own Identity, in which Rick, because he's brave and insane, is actually going to try to hide from me for 3 months. And no, this is true. Stealing Your Own Identity, we're writing it right now, he is going to try to hide from me for 3 months and lead a normal life. Now, as he's been finding out, not possible. How do you rent an apartment? How do you get a job? How do you open a bank account? How do you drive a car? So on and so forth. Everything that you do, you leave these little digital footprints, which we've been talking about. Some of them are really, really obvious as you go through your day, and some of them are not so obvious, and I've tried to cover some of those. Short answer to your question is, keep using cash, refuse to give your info, and be sensible enough to know that there are some times when you're screwed. People have a right to ask for it. If you give a credit card, they have a right to see your driver's license, and so on and so forth. I'm going to start working my way around you. Yeah, by the way, we've got 50 minutes left. I will answer everyone's question if you don't all fall asleep first.
Okay. This gentleman just mentioned that the Social Security card is stolen, etc. Now, if you have to apply for a new Social Security card, might that somehow become an opportunity? Is there a way to reinvent yourself or disappear?
First, let me make the observation that there's a guy with a foreign accent asking me how to get a Social Security number. We will be checking you on the way out. Yes, it is a great possibility to reinvent yourself and throw aside all of the past little entries into your digital database. But you would have to do so many other things. You would have to change your name. You would have to change your date of birth. I can still, well, it's ridiculously impossible, of course. If I have your name and I've got your date of birth, I can put that into a database and you can come down here later and I'll show you. I can pull up your social security number on the spot. So all I have to do is wait a month or two till that new social security number is in there, put in your name and date of birth, and the new social security number will pop up. You have to change all of the linking factors. You have to move out of your apartment. If Bob Jones, who is a black, foreign-born male, I'm sorry if I'm categorizing you, but I'm telling you how it works, in his, I want to say, from down here, you look like you're early 30s? Never mind. I'll find out later. If a black, foreign-born male named Bob in his early 30s is living in such and such an apartment, he disappears like he was beamed up by space aliens, and in his place in the same apartment appears Fred, a foreign-born black male in his mid-30s. You know, you don't have to be Perry Mason to go, So you got to change everything. Sorry. That is the beauty and the curse of everything being in databases. And by the way, is why you should never owe me money. You.
Can you tell us what happened to you over the summer?
No, I'm afraid I can't. Sorry, yes I can. I always look for the cheap shot first. I was supposed to give this speech at the Hope Convention, and as I have at every other Hope Convention. Unfortunately, moments before I was supposed to walk into the room, 7 FBI agents appeared from stage left and swooped me up and took me away, where I was then taken down, locked up for a couple of days, and ultimately had a judge go to them, "What are you, crazy? Send him home." Here's the backstory to that. And no criminal charges currently pending. I'm still a licensed investigator. They had to give me back my guns. You should all know that if you want to screw with me. Seriously, they had to. It was actually bizarre. In some places, they suspended my PI license, but not my weapons permit. And in other states, they suspended my weapons permit, but not my PI license. So in some places, I could shoot people, but not question them. That's actually true. That's actually true.
Can I bring that now?
Yeah, it's completely. The short answer is it's completely dismissed, and it was dismissed before indictment. Now, let me tell you what happened. And this is actually important because it really speaks to the need in a democracy for info to be available to everybody to prevent Big Brother from squashing you with a big hairy thumb. I was hired by a law firm in New York. They were representing a fellow by the name, this is all public information. They were representing a guy by the name of Albert Santoro. Albert Santoro was a prosecutor who had gotten arrested by the FBI and charged with money laundering. He was arrested by the FBI and charged with money laundering, prosecutor, attorney, nevertheless, on the word of an informant. The informant's name was Joseph von Habsburg Lothringen, who said he was the Prince of Austria. Now, Mr. Santoro may not have been the swiftest prosecutor, but nevertheless, there was a real guy who was a government informant. Nobody knew who he was. From the day that Santoro was arrested until the day that he was about to go to trial, 2 years and 8 months had passed, and nobody could find this guy, nobody could identify this guy. I got hired by the law firm. Find out who this guy is. He's the only witness. He's the only guy who can tell the truth about what happened. He met with Santoro 30 times. The 30th meeting, he brings in an FBI agent who arrests Santoro on the spot. It would be helpful if we could prove what happened in those 30 prior meetings in which never mind the whole defense, but Santoro is not going to jail for money laundering. They've dropped those charges. It would be helpful if we could identify this guy and find out his background. Well, I found out that Joseph von Habsburg-Lothringen is what's known in the business as a high-level government informant. He has made hundreds and hundreds of cases for the FBI, the DEA, and other governmental law enforcement agencies. I also found out, and here's where I got in trouble, his real name is Joseph Myers. He's an ex-mental patient who was locked up in a place that they call locally Happy Valley. It's called Green Valley in Birmingham, Michigan. He's got 15 felony arrests, bad stuff. Each time the FBI came and unscrewed him, that the FBI has paid him close to $1 million. And actually, his reputation goes down from what I just described. In fact, since you brought it up, wait a second. Here is the Prince of Austria. Wait a second. By the way, great shareware program if you're a Mac guy. That's the Prince of Austria peeking out of his home. That's the prince today, and here is the prince when he started his career. They're the same guy with a 15 felony history, being taken away for beating up his mother and putting a bowl of spaghetti on her head, being taken away to a mental institution, and so on and so forth. When I found this out, and I started questioning family members, and the reason I question his family members, first of all, it's a good investigative tactic, and second of all, every family member who I questioned said, it's about time somebody's going to put that son of a bitch in jail. Let me tell you what he did when he was 14. And then sat me there for the whole day and told me his criminal history. When they found out I was doing this, they convened a grand jury, and they subpoenaed my investigative file, the FBI did. Well, for those of you who are lawyers or have any knowledge of the law, let me tell you, you don't get an investigator's file. You can't subpoena it. It's work product. It's privileged. So the lawyer who I was working for went in front of the magistrate and said, Judge, I'd like to give you a big fat legal brief on why you can't do this, but this has never happened before in the history of the Southern District of New York. There are no cases on point. They're trying to get our defense investigator's file. And the judge says, yeah, you can't do that. Get out of here. So the FBI waited till the judge went on vacation. This is Judge Thomas Grisey, who's a senior federal judge. They waited till he went on vacation. They gave me the same freaking subpoena again. Amazing. Well, pretty much any magistrate you find is going to say, you can't get out. This guy's an investigator. He's not a criminal. You're not getting criminal records. He's a defense investigator. So the judge slapped that down. 2 weeks after they slapped it down, they try to make a point. I had been visiting his family members. So help me God, this is true. They sent two federal agents to visit my mother. Dirty, dirty, dirty. My mom, who born and bred in Brooklyn, said, I'm sorry, fellas, Steve isn't here and I have to cook dinner for my husband. Well, that didn't work. No, this is all true. And by the way, this is all a matter of public record. They have bounced the prosecutor who authorized all of this. I mean, there is somebody with a brain. Well, a couple of days after that, they figured they would make their point. So they found a place where I would be speaking to 1,100 people. And they came in, seven guys with raid jackets, and took me out of there. Now, in the federal system, you're arrested, and then they have to indict you. You have to be indicted. The case has to go in front of a grand jury. Well, 1 hour before the grand jury deadline, and if you don't indict the guy, you have to goodbye, you're done. Well, 1 hour before in New York, they decided, we're going to not charge Mr. Rambo. So all charges dropped. 3 weeks later, they have me charged again from California. The exact same complaint. Word for word, all they did was change the FBI agent's name. And again, 1 hour before they were supposed to indict me, they dropped the charges. So I probably have a Guinness Book of World Records record, you know, arrested most times without indictment in 1 month or something like that. The point was they were trying to tie me up and create a situation where I couldn't investigate. And they succeeded. When adult authority came in and said, no, 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 you can't do this, the prosecutor was booted out. Santoro was given a deal. He's not going to jail. All charges against me were dropped. My licenses were restored. And we are filing a $100 million lawsuit against the FBI. No, no, no. Don't. You know what? If you're applauding because I'm not going to jail, I agree. If you're applauding because somehow I'm spanking the FBI, I got to tell you, I'm an investigator. These guys are my colleagues. This was a very disturbing, yet enlightening moment in my professional career.
They were spanking
you. Huh?
They were spanking you.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe I like being spanked. No. You know, I always go for the cheap shot. Okay. And by the way, I'm more of a spanker than a spanky because I see your eyes are lighting up a little bit. Okay, very unprofessional. Let's have some good questions.
Yes, I know maybe you said you didn't want to express political opinions, but I was wondering whether in the case of internet vendors that, like Amazon that sell your data, or whatever, do you think that they're, you know, this cliche, there ought to be a law against
them? Phenomenal question. I'll repeat his question. His question is, even though I said I don't want to express an opinion, how do I feel about outfits like Amazon.com gathering all of this personal information about you and then remarketing it? Okay, here's why I have a problem with it. They can do it legally because you click on their user agreement when you sign up. These user agreements are an impossibility to monitor. You have to be an attorney for 20 years and be willing to litigate to use Amazon and not have your privacy invaded. What I think is the problem is, that most of this goes on under the radar. I mean, you're like a deer in the headlights. You have no idea what's going on. People don't accurately tell you how screwed you're going to be. People don't accurately tell you what they're doing with your info, and they don't give you a way to avail yourself of the ease of their service without being screwed by their privacy invasion. In a perfect world, there would be two classes of Amazon users. People who log on, buy a book, Amazon makes money, they don't keep a record of that purchase after it's actually been delivered to your home. There's no need. And then there would be the other class of people who don't care if they have a 20-year list of everything you've ever read or expressed interest in. I think what Amazon's doing is ambush. I think it sucks. That's not a political opinion. That's a professional opinion.
Can there be a law?
There can be a law about anything. The last thing I want, I mean, the only way to make things worse is involve the U.S. government. That applies to every situation. I think that there has to be a consumer-driven movement where you gravitate towards the people that don't warehouse your personal info. Or, you know what? Don't use Amazon. Walk into the Barnes & Noble down the block and pay cash. Quiet. I'm a bad example because what I do is I set up dummy companies. And I have the ability to do that.
Are they LLCs?
No, agent, they're not. Why would I tell you that information? I set up dummy companies. And by the way, that is the easiest thing that you can do. You set up, and this is one of the things actually that Rick Dakin in his book has been driven to do because he has no choice. He is taking a shuttle. He's in Florida. He's going down to the Bahamas. He's opening a nominee corporation in the Bahamas, opening a bank account with a linked credit card. Because right now he's screwed. Every time he uses his credit card, I show up on his doorstep. So, that's one of the issues. There are things that you can do. Now, I will tell you, again, there is a direct inverse proportion rock-solid inverse proportion between convenience and privacy. If you give up your privacy, life is going to be a lot easier for you. You can do stuff on the net. You can use your credit card. You can dial 888 numbers and order Newsweek. You can do whatever you want to do. If you want to keep all of that confidential, you got to jump through hoops a little bit. It's a pain in the butt. Nextel. Nextel is the biggest pain in the butt. They don't play with anybody. They don't give out their subscriber info.
Can you get Verizon wireless service without giving your SSN?
I did. I mean, maybe you'll sound more suspicious on the phone. You go to your local Verizon and open an account, and then once you have an account, you select all the add-ons. They don't re-ask you for your SSN once you have a Verizon account. You refuse. They have no legal right to your Social Security number. In my case, they asked me for a $1,200 cash deposit. I said, no problem. Question is Patriot Act versus privacy and benefits, correct? I am unaware of any single instance in the United States where somebody was caught and prosecuted as a result of information that would have not been available had there not been a Privacy Act, Patriot Act. I am not aware of a single arrest, not one. Now, I got to tell you, I'm very happy to say the U.S. government doesn't give me a daily briefing. But by now, we would have heard something. And with everybody bitching about the Patriot Act, they would have trotted out a really good example. Tell me one. There is none. You know, everyone's talking about, oh, we have to have the right to download telephone databases so we can do data mining and see who talks to who. You can do that right now. You get a warrant, you go to the phone company, and you say, give me everybody who's been talking to Ahmed in the past 3 months. And they do it. In fact, the NYPD, which does not use Patriot Act provisions, if they know that somebody made a phone call from a payphone, they can get every incoming and outgoing call. Patriot Act is just, in my opinion, a professional investigative opinion, it's an absolute scamola. Absolutely. There is not a single bit of information that you can get under the Patriot Act that you can't get without it under federal laws that existed prior to 9/11, 2001. Now, I'll tell you something. What's changed is sharing of information among governmental agencies, which is also an assault on your privacy, but it's one that's justified. That example I put up on the screen regarding the hijackers is an excellent example of that. But as far as giving the government additional snooping ability, they've got the maximum they've ever needed and will ever use. I got to take him. He's the big boss.
If you were going to be able to write the rules, how would you solve the government's problem in terms of the quality of passport as being real?
Oh my God!
That you were given, and you ask this guy why he carried his passport around. In Europe, they have identity cards. We walk around with credit cards.
Last one. It was a great question, though. The question is, what would I do to make the U.S. passport a less easily, bogusly obtained document?
Short of us carrying ID.
First of all, I am all for carrying ID cards. Let me tell you why. If you think for a nanosecond that there's any difference between your ID, between a national ID card like, in Soviet Russia, Nazi Germany, if you think there's a single difference between that and your driver's license, wrong, wrong, wrong. Every driver's license being renewed now, they are required to cross-reference a Social Security number with it. You are the only guy with that Social Security number. That stuff goes into police department databases. If you saw what can be pulled up on you now on a dashboard police computer, you would be astounded. It's already there. Let's do it formally so that we can do it right. If I want a false identity, I can take a driver's license from, I'm sorry, I can take a birth certificate from some little town in New York, go down to Louisiana, using a motel address that I'm in because they have a 48-hour residency rule, give them the motel address and the birth certificate, and walk away with a driver's license. And by the way, half of the foreign documents that are coming in, like these consular cards from Mexico and, oh my God, Palestinian passports, passports from Belarus. I mean, I could give you just, we could sit down and have a beer sometime and I could tell you how easy it is to develop a false identity in the U.S., especially if you're coming from overseas. Especially. I think we need a national identity card. I think we need a national citizens database. I think there needs to be ferocious restrictions on it. Ferocious restrictions. But it needs to be there so that for key things like a passport, for example, they can determine if you are really who you are. And here's where everybody's going to say, man, I thought you were interested in privacy. Here's what I want to tell you. There has to be a biometric identifier. And it has to be your thumbprint. And why do I pick the thumbprint? Because it's already used on 23 driver's licenses. I have a home and an office in Texas. I have a driver's license from Texas. When I renew my driver's license, they're going to be taking my thumbprint and my Social Security number. First time they've done either, but that's the new regs. Let's do it right.
Follow on?
Sure. You're in a suit.
All right, so now you have this card, and you really can prove you're you. How would that have stopped Mr. Atta and his buddies?
It wouldn't. Because a bunch of these guys came in on legitimate visas. None of these people were carried on some wetback's shoulders across the Rio Grande.
By creating, what is the reward then? Is it an identity card which is a better...
It's not a standalone solution. You've also got to have border control. I could tap dance with a hat and cane across the Canadian border right now. No, honest to God. I mean, there are roads that are not monitored. There's a phone there. I've seen this with my own eyes, working cases up there. You're supposed to go to the phone and say, hello, Homeland Security, this is Bob. I'm driving car with license plate such and such. I'm entering the United States. Thanks, Bob. There are hundreds of roads like this. You mean to tell me that the next wave of terrorists can't find that road? Give me a break. And by the way, pretty much... Listen.
2020, so they now know where it is.
Well, let me tell you something else. There's a Indian reservation up in upstate New York that's part on the U.S. border, part on the Canadian border, and it's considered sovereign territory by both Canada and the U.S. I could bring a nuclear missile through there if I wanted to. I mean, there's a lot of issues other than ID. There has to be comprehensive. Listen, you appoint me Cabinet Secretary of Busting Chops for 1 year, and I promise you these problems will disappear. Honestly. You know, the problems are...
You big brother.
No, it can be done with a lot of respect for individual privacy. Let's not be deceptive. A national identity card already exists. It's your driver's license and your Social Security number. Border problems... Listen, you're right. Mike Wallace, 88-year-old Mike Wallace with his aluminum walker, got across the border from Canada. I mean, everybody knows what the problems are. Everybody knows what the solutions are. And you've got just an endless supply of weenies that are entering the U.S. Congress and doing nothing about it. I mean, every problem that you're aware of, you're an educated, common-sense guy who's been in the business community for 40 years. If somebody put you in charge of closing the border, could you? Probably. With the hack.
To make comments on the gentleman in the white shirt's question, I walked into Virgin Mobile at 42nd Street, gave the name of Yelena, and walked out with a prepaid cell phone that was relatively cheap, right?
Well, prepaid cell phones, you can give any name you want. That's right.
Which actually leads into a two-part question. The first one, to what extent can you legally give third parties false information about yourself?
Depends. If you're applying for a benefit, for credit, you can't. It's a crime. But if you have a prepaid card where you know they're going to cut you off when the amount of money on the card runs out, who you hurt?
Generic service, like going signing up for accounts, signing up for online, going to Radio Shack, buying something from the store.
Why would you give Radio Shack anything? Why would your response to Radio Shack not be, my name is Bite Me? No, I really don't understand your comment or your comment. This is Radio Shack, not the Department of the Treasury. I'm pretty sure. They want you, trust me. If you have money in your hand, they will have all of the trainees from the back come out and throw you to the floor before they let you leave with that money. Tell them, I'm not giving it to you. Do you want to make this sale or not? Now, what I've seen 100 times when they do that, the guy, the salesman, puts in his own name and the store address. He's nodding his head. He's seen it also. No, you're a cameraman. You don't get to speak. No, what's the question?
What is the best way to protect yourself against identity theft?
Don't give out your identity. I'm not being a wise guy.
Can you be any more specific?
Yes, I can.
Thank you.
Don't give out your Social Security number unless it's legally required. And familiarize yourself with where it's legally required. Don't give out your date of birth. Have a post office box or a mail drop. Don't give out your home address. Never, 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 never give out your home phone number. If you must call 800 numbers... and people who you know will be putting you into that big database. I mean, Skype, Vonage. I mean, have an IP number that traces to nowhere. If you run my home phone number, it comes back to Pelorium, 1 Pelorium Drive, Pelorium, New York. And they keep sending me notices by email. Sir, your number is not 911 compliant. You need to correct your address. And I keep hitting delete. Because when you register a phone number with Vonage and you tell them to mail it to your post office box, or you go into Radio Shack or one of these other places and you buy the Vonage in the box, they will ask you the information then.
Wasn't Skype on your list there as being...
Yeah, but that's for idiots who tell Skype the truth.
Oh.
My Skype account is under Jack Griffith. That's the one that everybody knows because they see it show up there at once. They don't know about it. I'm not Jack Griffin. I can't. If you run my phone number, maybe I've forgotten. All right, we're going to...
What legal and ethical restrictions prevent you from identifying an investigator using privileges? And are there private investigators you can use?
Oh, sorry, I don't have another T-shirt. Well, that's going to be part of my answer. You betcha. What legal and ethical restrictions prevent me from screwing everyone's privacy? And what was the second part?
And are there private investigators who abuse
their privilege? Are there private investigators who abuse their privilege? Sure, there's weasels everywhere. Vast majority of private investigators work within the rules. There are about 5% of private investigators who buy people's credit card bills and phone bills routinely, reflexively, when they investigate them. It's a cheap, lazy shortcut. 95% of investigators don't do that because it's illegal, as an example. What legal restrictions are there? First of all, I can't break the law. I have no more ability than anybody else. I can't go into your house at night and look through your file cabinet. I can't tap your phone. I can't obtain records that I don't have a legal right to access. Those are the legal restrictions. In addition to that, there are civil legal issues. I mean, my big problem is not a guy who comes with a gun. It's a guy who comes with a lawyer. and who sues the pants off of me for doing something that I don't have a legitimate need or right or reason to do. And frankly, I can sue you if I don't like the color of your sweatshirt. This is not England, where the guy who files the lawsuit, the guy who loses the lawsuit, pays. Any numbnuts can sue me for a filing fee and tie me up and kills my credit record, and I've got to hire an attorney, and my liability insurance rates go up, and so on and so forth. Of course, I'll be on your ass the rest of your life, but that's the legal reasons. Ethically, most people who go into private investigation are not Thomas Magnum or Monk. Most people who go into private investigation have significant number of years behind them in one criminal justice field or another, or perhaps they're reporters in states that let you qualify that way. And these are people who, I've got to tell you, are typically interested in making the world a better place. And that's why they're in that field. I don't know of a single private investigator I've worked with, when I've come to him with a pro bono issue, said, screw you, pay me. Most private investigators are pretty darn ethical people. Frankly, and I'm not saying this because of my personal circumstances, I've seen more problems with sworn law enforcement officers who get lazy than private investigators. And I'll tell you something else. There's a big problem for law enforcement officers when they go private, because they don't have that badge anymore. They can't say, I'm Detective Jones, answer these questions. They have to come in and be inventive and be smart and get the information. And it's a big learning curve, and it's a big adjustment. The cops that were lazy and behaved improperly lose their licenses within the first year. In the state of Texas, for example, where it's very, very easy to become a law enforcement officer, and it's not so easy to survive as a private investigator, one-third of PIs give up their licenses every year. One-third of the industry goes out of business every year. I've been licensed in Texas for 22 years. When I go in there with my low license number, people think it's a typo, honestly. So the summary of what I want to say is there are plenty of laws preventing it. There are lawyers salivating at the opportunity to sue somebody with a multi-million dollar liability policy. And most PIs are pretty good guys. Not a technology question, however.
Getting back to what you were saying about never give out your social security number.
Unless you're legally required.
Right. And you know, last night on the radio show, you mentioned specifically don't do it to someone who you want to get credit from. What are the chances of someone giving you, say, a credit card if you don't give them a social security number? And just related to that,
try it and find out.
Are you not now legally?
Try it and find out. And if for some, I didn't have a problem with my last credit card.
I just put in
all zeros.
But isn't that lying?
No. I put in all zeros, and I wrote next to it in parentheses, will not give out social security number. You know what? They sent me a credit card.
Are they not also required to give your...
Get a linked credit card. That's a Patriot Act law, and yes, they're legally required to do it. I didn't give it. I skated by. I gave my post office box, but it's because my post office box has been the address on my credit report for 27 years, the same post office box. I was a young little paranoid guy. No, that's true. As soon as I turned 18, I got a post office box. You know what? Back there somewhere. The guy hiding behind the iBook. No, you. Don't be shy. You had your hand up.
I know that a lot of websites, somewhere hidden in their privacy agreement, they tell you that you don't actually have privacy. But what about some websites at least trying to get semblance of it? Like, I know Facebook has an entire security thing.
Ridiculous. Come on, is there anybody in here that doesn't know how to game Facebook? And do you not believe that there's not a zillion bots running rampant around Facebook, sucking the information to some place where not only have you not signed their privacy policy, you don't know they exist.
So, like, all of those, they're not exactly from the company, but they're still, like,
Okay, two-part answer. Number one, any online site where there's hundreds of thousands or millions of users who promise you privacy are big fat liars. Because any one of those people that has access to your profile can assist in the violation of your privacy. I can tell you, I have multiple profiles and multiple passwords to every single one of these sites. And I've never been caught once. I mean, I went and set up all these identities because I figured I'd use one once, they'd catch it, they'd cut it off, I'd need to use the next one. They never even found it. So, in my opinion, the privacy policy on the site is meaningless. It may be adhered to by them, but it's not going to be adhered to by countless other people. If you put something on the net, you are saying everybody has access to this. Sir? It's not the Social Security Administration. They're private credit monitoring services, and what those services do is the minute somebody applies for any credit or any benefit that goes into the system using your SSN, they shoot you an email and a letter and whatever. It's absolutely not the Social Security Administration. Yep. God, don't use dial-up. I mean,
for people that want to be anonymous, they can still do that.
Well, first of all, a dial-up modem isn't going to help you because, you know, a Verizon DSL line that constantly cycles through the IP pool is going to accomplish the same thing. I mean, how you connect to that service is the big issue. Now, if you're in an area where there's free Wi-Fi, I mean, Philadelphia is going to be a privacy... a huge front to privacy because the city of Philadelphia is setting up free Wi-Fi citywide. So you're going to be able to open your laptop or open your computer without identifying yourself to that connection point and connect to the internet. Say no. Yeah. Listen, first of all, if you have insurance, they have your insurance info. They know who you are. If you don't have insurance, you're paying cash. Say, I'm paying cash. If you want, I'll pay you in advance. Doctor does not have a right to your Social Security number. No, I mean legally. They don't have the right. Especially not a dentist. I mean, not even a real doctor.
Steve, let's suppose someone has... an arrest, and where the question is, where are records of arrest compiled? And the second part would be, if I were to get my FBI report, what would I find on it?
Not having investigated you, I'm not sure.
Generically.
You got almost 10 years ago when I requested my FBI file. I got thousands of pages of blank lines, black lines. Got nothing. Now, I would probably get a note from the FBI director saying, Steve, do you really want to waste your time? They don't have to give you anything. They can cut out, and I mean, and by the way, this is not a bad thing. It's abused, but they have the right to say, we want to protect confidential sources. We want to protect... I believe the phrase is methods and means, basically how they found out you were a criminal in the first place, and so on and so on. They can pretty well black out whatever you want. The FBI file, it's hit or miss. Now, by the way, there's a whole appeal process. If you're really serious about getting your FBI file, get a FOIA lawyer, somebody who specializes in Freedom of Information Act litigation. These guys are known to the Department of Justice, and they will, from the get-go, give you more stuff in the hope you won't screw with them with an appeal. Now, file the appeal anyway, and you'll get more stuff. If you really, really need it, you got to file a lawsuit. That's the FOIA question. What was the first part?
The question was who all keeps records of arrest?
Everybody. First of all, they're public record. My arrest, my federal arrest, anybody with an access to PACER, which is the federal system, which you can pay for a password, for 7 cents, that's what they charge, no, it's 8 cents now, for 8 cents a page, for 8 cents, they'll be able to put in my name, just my name, and it'll pop up, arrested, dismissed, arrested, dismissed. In fact, to get my PI license back, I had to actually print out that page and hand it in. Not that I couldn't have gone to, you know, Word and typed something up, but criminal records are public record. They are accessible. Now, first of all, when you say criminal records, first of all, there's a police report, which in some places is public record, some places isn't. Then you're talking about the actual processing report, which is the mugshot, the fingerprints, all of that. That stuff typically is not available, except in the context of a lawsuit where you get a specific court order. Then, here's the stuff that's always public record. The arrest, the date, the index number, and the disposition, whether you were convicted or not. That's public record, along with all the stuff that happened in the court, unless it's sealed. Unless you can get a judge to seal it. All of these records, now that they're machine readable, are being bought up by ChoicePoint and Accurate. And there's a company called RapSheets, which was bought up by ChoicePoint and whatever. It's not only available by going to the courthouse. A lot of the county courthouses and the state level agencies, for example, Florida, Texas, whatever, you can go right online and get it. And then there are services that you can pay money to. So it's available in a zillion places. 5 minutes. Okay, you didn't ask a question.
Yes, if you wanted to know what other people know about you, what service would you recommend? What's the most cost-effective way?
Ooh. No, that's a fine question. The answer is investigate yourself. First, go to the boob accessible services like People Finders and what have you, where, you know, give us all the information and for $29 on your credit card, we'll give you back a report. Do that and see what pops up. That by itself will usually piss you off. but somebody, you know, a real background investigation costs $500 to $1,000, and there's a reason for that. If you really, really want to know, hire a competent private investigator and talk to him. Don't just, you know, oh, you got a PI license, here's money. Talk to him. Say, well, what experience do you have on this? Can you show me a sample report? What data sets are typically involved? Do you only check online, or do you also do field work, so on and so forth?
As an employer, you're looking to hire a lot of employees.
Well, you've got labor law issues. You've got FCRA issues. Anything that you purchase is an investigative report for pre-employment purposes, and you have to be aware you have an obligation to give that to your employee if you don't hire them. You didn't know that? Ooh. Okay, federal law says if you refuse to hire somebody and they ask you for the basis of that decision, and there's a written report that's the basis or part of the basis, you've got to inform them. Because they have the right to determine, did you violate their civil rights? Was it for a cause that you're not able to consider? For example, you can't hire somebody or not hire somebody because they're married, because they are a certain religion, so on and so forth. You can't say, listen, you're an Orthodox Jew and I do my biggest business on Saturday, for example. Anyway, but I'm not a labor lawyer. But actually, the U.S. government has it's called Safe Hiring Practices or something like that. You can download it right off the web. A terrific book, actually. And it tells you stuff that you should typically do and things you can do to mitigate your liability. For example, if you own a school bus company and you don't check the driving history of your drivers and one of them mows down seven old ladies, you got a problem. Anyway, no, you asked before. Sir.
Yes, I
I'm sorry, you're a what?
I'm a plaintiff in the Southern District in New York in a case.
Did I arrest you?
No.
Okay.
In a case. And, I've been fighting tooth and nail for disclosing my Social Security number. The federal judge, he sided with me. Recently, I got a particular one not to get my tax return. The question I have.
What were you arrested for?
No, this is civil. It's a lawsuit.
Oh!
It's a lawsuit. And the defendants, they, you know, they've been pressing me to get my Social Security number, which I got a particular one to prevent it.
Why are they saying they need to? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I have like 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. Why do they say they need your Social Security number?
Well, they say for medical reasons, but I.
You're suing for what? Help me out here.
Oh, false arrest.
You're suing for false arrest?
Oh, yeah, yes.
No, they don't get your Social Security number. Talk to me afterwards. Two more. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No.
Hold on a second. You worked for a security company?
No. I'm suing a security company, and I noticed in the deposition they had information on me that I'm curious to know, since they can get my Social Security number, is it possible they got illegal information on me? And if so, can I track...
I can get your Social Security number without breaking the law. Everybody can.
But I wonder why they keep insisting on my Social Security number. If
they found something nasty linked to that SSN, and they want to be able to prove it's you.
Okay.
No other reason.
Okay.
Trust me. Two questions. Well, okay. Speak fast.
So far, you've been advocating a consumer-driven approach.
Right. Right.
But in a lot of cases, like Amazon.com, there aren't similar services available that provide all benefits of that service. So, for a wide speaking across society, what would you advocate for protecting people's privacy so that individuals aren't pushed out of the market for what they would like to purchase in the market? Just because the companies can look at it like we're the only ones that offer these things, and we'll take the privacy with them.
You know, it's a really phenomenal question. His question is, Amazon does what it does. Pretty much nobody else does. If I want to use Amazon, what do I, or an Amazon-like service, what do I do? Yeah, that's the huge problem. And the answer is, if you're really determined to protect your privacy, set up an online identity that fits all the requirements. You need a mailing address and a credit card. Get a post office box and get a credit card linked to a corporate account. If the credit card clears, they don't really care.
Limit was for general society. So not protecting necessarily just my privacy when I'm interested in protecting it, but protecting everybody's from those types of services they evolve to take away privacy, since it doesn't really hurt their business to do so.
You know, that's the point. It has to start to hurt their business. And the reason it doesn't is because either people are clueless. I think it's fair to say 50-75% of the stuff we discussed today, most people here didn't know about. And you are terrifically educated people and inquisitive. And you didn't know about it. Imagine the average numb and dumb person. So first of all, is making the public aware. And second of all, changing the public attitude that, well, it's out there, I can't do anything about it. I mean, there has to be a penalty for you gathering information on me that I don't want you to have.
One free market solution would be to start businesses that don't capture this information.
And
at some point, you will create a market. Give them a t-shirt, exactly. That kind of company.
And a perfect example is I've started a company where we give you a telephone number and an email address and a fax number, and we destroy everything. Now, you can't. It's for investigators and law enforcement. But it's an example. I don't want, you know, a pedophile or a stalker to be using my service. Not that you're either. One more question. One more? Okay, one more. Oh, geez. Okay. Ma'am, did you raise your hand? No, you didn't? Okay. All right, the guy hiding back there, you.
Well, that was a three-part question.
Oh, no. So only the first part's going to be answered, though. Come on.
Okay, in your case, isn't the Southern District supposed to, they have 3 days to give you a complaint and then 30 days to give
they
you
They gave me a complaint in my hand. While they were still
handling it. Don't they have 30 days to indict you?
Yeah.
Once they give you a complaint?
Yes. and they dismissed in each case right before the indictment. They basically tied me up, so my license was suspended for 30 days, and then dropped the charges the morning that they were supposed to indict me. This is not the question I wanted to end on. And then they recharged me in California and did the same thing. So they managed to tie me up for 60 days.
Great.
I got to take one more question. I hated that question.
You got to change tape.
Okay, one more quick question.
We're going to run out of tape.
You, well, sir,
cell phone tracing in real time. What if the cell phone is shut off? You said you can still do it.
No, not if it's shut off. Okay. I can trace you through all the means. That's it. God bless.
Presenting Steve with a official off the hook t-shirt so he doesn't go back empty-handed. I want to thank everybody for attending. This officially brings Hope Number 6 to a close. Finally, those of you who want complimentary badges are in the front. Take them as a souvenir. Get them off our hands. Thank you very much. See you in 2008.
When I was 12.